Good morning. Welcome to Plugged Into Long Island, 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock, and 106.1 BLI, Long Island's number one for all the hits. Plugged Into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area-specific issues. It is heard Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Plugged Into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group, Long Island Community Affairs team, right here at our studios on Long Island. I am Valerie, your host for today's episode. We are speaking with the nonprofit Today, Strategies of Success. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have a couple other people here. I'll let you introduce yourselves.
Yep. So this is Nicole and Jonathan from Brown's Automotive. We're located in Patra, right on Route 112.
Perfect. And Brian, you are the co-founder. What is Strategies for Success?
I got awfully involved with the public speaking world, whether it be a speakers bureau, Toastmasters, and a number of other things. I always found being able to communicate being incredibly important inside of one's careers. So I've been focusing on that for myself. It's created different opportunities, some rather unique opportunities, and this being one of them, which I never imagined I would be in.
Yes. Well, radio, you have to speaking go hand in hand. Now, how does that go hand in hand with the automobile industry, which is what we're mainly talking and focusing on right now?
Well, I was asked to lead a panel discussion at a business networking group. I spoke about three growth opportunities on Long Island: the Ronkonkoma Hub, the MacArthur Airport, and this possibility of a Long Island drag strip. It was supposed to add about $17 million to the community, felt that was a worthy topic. And that's how I got to know about Long Island needs a drag strip in that group. A couple of years later, yeah.
You see the stickers. Huh? Yeah. I love that you knew what I was going to say.
Yeah. So, so that's how I got involved with Long Island needs a drag strip. They got temporary approval to race a drag race in Carrollton at the old Grumman facility on one of the runways. The first year, I didn't even go out there. The second year, they put a post up. They were looking for someone to help out with the microphone. There's your common factor. And I was like, sure, I'd be happy to help out with that. And I told them, I said, look, I don't know anything about drag racing or cars. No problem. Come out. We'll teach you how to do it. All you got to do is read the time slip. I'm like, okay, what's a time slip? But what I've come to learn through that whole thing, besides the fun aspect, it's great for the local economy. It's a lot of fun, a lot of family entertainment too, multi-generations.
I can hear it in your voice.
Oh, I enjoy it.
You're enthusiastic.
Yes. And the other side of it, too, more, on the more serious side of that, you know, is the career aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And not becoming a race car driver, but the automotive industry as a whole and what can actually happen in the high schools when these high school vocational programs are supported by the business community. And when these students at a young age get a chance to, well, in this case, build something like build a car. And one of the high schools did exactly that.
Now, just to backtrack for a second, you were already known as a public speaker, somebody who can get in front of a crowd. And that's how that connection was made. They knew they were aware you did that. So they wanted you to come out. And then you're like, oh, Eureka.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot with the town of Brookhaven over the years. I've had a podcast for well over a decade. I've led panel discussion to different business groups. So yeah,
I want to get more, we're going to get into the car thing, but how did you come about doing that? Did you go to school for that? Or just were always comfortable in front of a crowd and can speak like fluently, not fluently as in English, but like, you know, without any hesitation or, you know, your confidence level is up, you learn it from school or just yourself?
No, it's just the backstory of it was I was called Mumbles in elementary school and middle school. So I always mumbled through. I got promoted during a career. I got promoted to a sales manager role. I put one guy to sleep week after week. I realized I needed to do something. I joined Toastmasters and I just continued to focus on being more of a demonstrative speaker. It created opportunities for me in the true business world. And I like doing it. And I've been coaching people on public speaking, all the rest of that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then one day I wanted to speak to more than, you know, 5,000 people over the course of a year. Somebody's like, oh, well, come on my radio show. I did the radio show. That went well. Town of Brookhaven, started a radio show. It's like, you know, it's easy to do TV. So we did TV. It just keeps going on.
There you
next
go.
Thing you know, I'm talking about cars that I know nothing about, which is why it's good that Brown's is here.
Yes. And just a second. But this is very inspirational for a lot of kids. If they're listening, or if you are a parent of a kid who maybe is a little self-conscious and does that, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it came naturally. No one seemed like you were pushed into it. Like, you got self-confidence. So what a success story.
It's work. Yeah. You gotta put, as with anything. And this is the message over here, too. And I also speak at high schools for career days. Mm-hmm. But here's the big message of the whole thing. You got to have confidence in what you're doing. And the way you get confidence from, and this fits in exactly what's over here, is that if you know what you want to do and it actually means something to you, you will work through whatever roadblock there is. It didn't come naturally as a public speaker. It was a lot of time, energy, effort, work, putting myself in some interesting situations. Besides the panel discussions, I've gotten on a comedy stage. I sang on a cruise ship as a one-off kind of a thing. But it was, you know, nerve-wracking to do that stuff. But if you want to become a better speaker, if you want to become better in the automotive field, if you want to develop new cars over the next 5 or 10 years, whatever it is, you can't just do it. You got to want to do it. And that is so unbelievably important. And if there's, you know, one message I deliver on the high school level, it's that. Figure out what it is that gets you going. What is it that really excites you? You know that. And you're going to work through any of these different hurdles, roadblocks, call them whatever you will, naysayers, et cetera, et cetera.
So. Especially in this age where now it looks like we're getting out of maybe going to college right after and going to a vocational school where you can learn the automotive industry. You know, that seems to be like a path now. People working independently, like having a career like that. So yeah. So how does that, how do you connect with Brian?
We work with the Suffolk Community College. They have their automotive classes where you can go anything from technician. So we usually hire up like apprentice technicians through that program, and they work with our higher end technicians, like our master techs, and they have an apprentice program that we do here. So it's kind of like a learning as you work experience, and we always offer training for anyone. Besides technicians, we also offer like a wide range of opportunities that I think a lot of people are not aware of. Like myself, I'm in marketing, so I manage like the entire website, working with you guys on the radio. Johnson's in sales, so he has a different aspect of the world that we work in. But we all work with the same departments, the service parts, office, even like the service valet is a lot people
in between.
Yeah. IT. So we work with the colleges for exposure about what job opportunities we
have. Right. Now, I guess you could do both, but a vocational is not like a 4-year program. Do you want to give us some background on like the time frame here?
We have different, like, so we have a technician right now in our apprentice program. He is going, I believe he's going to a 4-year college program, but he's also working here on his off, like, when he gets out of college, he comes here on breaks. Or you can do the vocational route when it's, I believe it's like a 2-year program, and then after that, you go right into, like, a dealership or a body shop, and you start working from there.
Gotcha. Now, do you find that, the attitude towards vocational has changed over the years? I found like maybe like people, my parents' age, boomers, it was a thing you did. Then my age range, millennials, college, 4-year college. And now I think people are coming around to the idea again. Do you find that to be true, or?
The vocational thing is definitely coming back around, you know, because there's more, you know, it's more out there and it's more in front of you. So for students to see that in school, it's something they are, you know, wanting to learn and grow from. So, you know, I definitely think, you know, when I was going to school, you know, it was kind of a big thing. You had your BOCES program, you had, you know,
right. Your
program, and it was big. And I see what you're saying as far as, like, it kind of died down a little bit. But now with the way everything's going and, you know, really with the way technology is now, everything's really so far at our fingertips. It's so close that you can really see so much. And I feel like it's so in your face now that you could really grow from there and go to a vocational school.
Absolutely. I want to get into AI in just a little bit. But before that, do you How can, if a college age kid is listening, someone going to 11th or 12th grade, they're listening to this right now with their parents and then are listening and they know what they want to do, have an interest in, how could they get in touch with you? How could they become a part of your program here on Long Island?
I would think they would first probably need to be involved with Suffolk Community College or the BOCES program. If you want to go into like a technician role, you do need a little bit more experience. I'm not going to throw anyone who doesn't know anything about cars to work on a vehicle.
Right, okay.
But say you were interested in automotive, we do have opportunities that don't require like that education, be it a salesperson, or we have people that worked on our lots and then they graduate to now working on the sales floor, or they moved up to working in the parts department. So, and the whole parts department is a whole different identity, I feel like, of a dealership that a lot of people don't even realize exists. Mm-hmm. Or there's career opportunities there. So there's always entryways into automotive that doesn't actually require a college degree.
Okay. And so I was kind of like, if you're transitioning into that phase, but what if you're like a 21, 22, you would still say the same thing?
Yeah, exactly that, if you wanted to go into like the service aspect of it. But, you know, like Nicole mentioned there, we have, you know, many different opportunities to get your foot into the dealership and then kind of figure out where you would grow from there.
Hmm. Right. And then once someone starts here, say they were interested in service, but they started in sales, we do offer like in-house trainings and like degrees at work where we'll send them to go get training to become that technician they want to be. So you don't always have to get that, I guess, vocational degree to work.
Gotcha. Okay. Brian.
And let's kind of define the word vocational training. The way I
yes,
see it,
please.
Vocational training means you know what you want to do and you're going to pursue that. And you're going to go to a school that focuses on that. Granted, great that you went to a four-year college, the rest of it. But you could have also gone to a radio school, a broadcasting school. That is a mm-hmm. vocational school. If you have a vocational program in some of these high schools, and they're amazing. You know, you could be talking about nursing. You could be talking about marketing. You could talk about anything. It's really important to do that. And right. then let's also go back to those that have an interest in cars, right?
Yes.
You've got all kinds of things that happen at the dealership. But this high school that built the car that's now sitting in a showroom someplace, and they built a car where there's a license plate on this car or something. They also put on a car show at the school. So what did they learn at that car show? You got event planning that went into it. They had to have coordination of the cars, where to park. That's a career too. You also have the trophies that had to happen. And dare I say there was a microphone. There was a little public speaking involved in that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many things, including paint and whatever else. But there's so many things you can learn by focusing in and building something. So vocational school, I think, is more of a specific training. And here's the okay. beautiful part. If you are a high school student listening to this, you figure out what you want to do. You then go to work in that and gain the experience you can in high school. You wind up at a company. And a lot of companies have got training that they'll put you through, whatever additional training you need to do. That's a very cost-effective way
of mm-hmm. extra education. Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah. I let the company pay.
You sound very, very passionate, which is great. But does that some of that come from parents who are like, no, I want my kid to go to a 4-year. So you had to like always be on the defense or offense, defense. So you've always had to be defensive of it or open-minded.
Well, look, my son pursued a career. He went to college. He's got a master's degree and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a full-blown career. But my comment to him is that to go to school and not know why you're going to school, not really, not a great idea. It's a lot of money to spend. And if we're going to look in the mirror on the whole mm-hmm. thing, you know, and I've said this publicly, I followed in my dad's footsteps. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm now 61, about to be 62 years old. I'm now pursuing what I really, truly want to do. And I can do it now, but I had to go through the career and it was successful and all the
right.
rest of that.
Sometimes you have to appease your parents because they're a pain.
But it wasn't even that. It's just I didn't know. I didn't really
true.
Know.
Yeah, that's right.
He knew
that's
what
true.
He knew, and that's what it was. And my uncle was in the business, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I never explored outside of it because nobody knew of the outside stuff. It was just what they know. So I'll right. go back again and say this. The more various businesses could go into the schools and do these career days, the more we can get the students to attend these business trade shows to see what's out there. Well, we get students out to the car shows or the drag strip to see all the stuff that goes on there. It's not just the cars. It's the food trucks. It's the hospitality. Right. It's the planning. It's everything, even the legal folks, the accounting folks. There's so many things to learn by doing stuff. We need to give our students more opportunities to see different things. And I think it's absolutely terrific that Brown's Automotive is one of those companies that actually does that. They are putting their effort out there.
Right. Do you have a, what do you think in terms of the automobile part of it, aspect of it? Do you have a popular, like a pick from the kids and like where they want to go, what kind of subject they want to learn about it, or all different varieties and they all, you know, talk with each other like, hey, I'm doing this. Do you want to try that? Or I'm like, oh, that looks cool what you're doing. Or is there like one popular thing that they all want to do?
Right. I think everyone in that program enjoys the idea of working with automobiles or like building something or fixing something or seeing how something works. Because a lot of it is problem solving. I'm not entirely sure. I know that we mostly work with those programs for technicians, so I'm not actually sure how that program is set up.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I would have to say it is actually really cool. They have service bays set up in there. They bring cars on.
It's actually very impressive what Suffolk Community College. I haven't been to the BOCES program, but Suffolk Community College, they do. They got different bays inside the facility. It's the different manufacturers that are all participating in there, most of them at least. It's pretty fascinating. And I can tell you the one thing I hope that our students of today, high school students of today, are very interested in is these alternative propulsion systems, the electric vehicles or hydrogen or whatever.
That would
be really cool. Because
absolutely. And I want to emphasize, you're saying students. A lot of times I think these things are spotlighted towards boys or guys. It could, you know, whoever you are, non-binary, girl, boy, whatever your interest is, it's not specific to your gender. If you like something, go for it. And again, I want to say, where can they reach you if they're interested in opening a dialogue about going to BOCES or doing the program? Please state your website or contact information.
For Browns, it would be just our website, so brownsjeep.com.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a tab there, a career tab.
Perfect. Okay.
And then my site is BrianSOSStrategyOfSuccess.com. The other site that I would recommend too is called Career Map LI. Mm. So I'm a board member of the ECNY Foundation. So we're focusing on different careers on Long Island. One of the reasons why I do speak at the high schools, as well. So we're highlighting different careers that are there. My contact information is there. But obviously, if you want to find out what programs that are available at Suffolk Community College or BOCES, I would reach out directly to them, find out what the most current situation is, and it keeps expanding. They got some great stuff on the horizon.
And we'll probably coming up on time in a little bit. We've got a few more minutes. Anything specific, any events you got coming up or something we didn't tackle yet?
We don't have an event, but I wanted to talk about how you were talking about all roles are open for like anyone who wants to do it. And at Browns, we do have like longevity of employees. So you can make a career working at a dealership. So he just retired, but we had a technician working here for 43 years. So he started as an technician apprentice, and he worked his way up to like master technician. And as right before retirement, he was training the new people coming in. So he was, paying it forward and training our staff. And we currently have a technician here now for 36 years. We have a person that works in our parts department. He's been here for 31 years. So it's everything. You can make a career at working at a dealership. It's not just, I have to work in sales and I'll get burnt out or I'll move on. So you have people who work here for a very long time, even in sales, for like 18 years, 30 years. So you can make a career out of it.
Right.
Yeah, if you talk about, the boys and girls or men and women that are involved in this thing, I had no idea. Remember, when I came into attending the racing over at with Long Island Needs a Drag Strip over at Cavalton, I got to see the variety of people. And the variety of people were everything from age. So we have the 7-year-old drivers, which are NHRA licensed and junior dragsters, to one gentleman that was 70 plus driving a dragster also. And they all had all the safety equipment including mufflers, which we need to have mufflers out there. So that was there. Cars that go span probably 100 years, stuff right out of the dealerships, others that go back to the 1920s that have been refurbished the whole way through. And the split between men and women driving, I don't know if it's 50-50, but the women driving those cars versus the men driving those cars at a risk of getting in trouble. And this one, the women were on public radio. How do I say this politely?
Uh-oh.
Were very efficient in working their way down the track.
The women? Okay. Are you complimenting us? I'm trying to suss this out.
Oh, they were phenomenal.
Okay.
Phenomenal. Especially one woman in particular, they drove an electric vehicle down the track.
Oh.
Phenomenal. And there are, it's king of the track.
I want to come out. I want to call it a game with you. What do they call a race with you? I'm going to call a race with you.
You do that. Come down. Yeah. I always look for help. Hey, I'm on the microphone for 5 hours. So yeah.
Absolutely. I would love to experience this. And so if someone wants to go, where do you go and see this racing?
So the website for the actual racing is called Racetrack Not Street. And my comment there, it's not just a website. It's a message to race on the track, not on the street.
Yes. Don't run Val off the roads. Or anybody else.
Right. Or every Tuesday night, Long Island Needs a Drag Strip has a car show. It's at the Mount Carmel Church in Patchogue.
Okay.
You can come down, you get tickets there also.
Gotcha. All right. Now, Jonathan, anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything. Like Nicole was saying, there's, you know, so many opportunities, and it's nice to get the younger generation involved. You know, when we go and touch the high schools and, you know, go to career days, I mean, you know, it's definitely a nice thing to get people involved early, and you know, the vocational schools being there as well. It's definitely the future of what we have.
I think so. And when you do things early, it takes the scariness out of it, I think, because you grow up with it as opposed to just like jumping into it, you know?
Yeah. When we when we did a career day at Brentwood High School. And, you know, a couple of the students come over and they're very shy in the beginning. And then, you know, they open up to you in a matter of minutes because you're talking their language. And that's just the future.
Yeah. Hear it for the future. Well, thank you so much. This has been fun. I didn't know what kind of conversation I was going to get into. But you guys are fabulous. And of course, there's always more stuff we can touch base on, and we'll have to have you on again because 30 minutes usually is not enough. Thank you. And Brian, I'm going to email you about calling a race.
So we'll come back on after you announce the races.
Absolutely.
And then maybe I'll interview you. You can tell me what you learned out there. It's absolutely amazing.
Yes, I would love that. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Jonathan, Nicole, and Brian. This has been Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's old classic rock, and 106.1 VLI, Long Island's number one for all the hits. Plugged Into Long Island is a half-hour interview program focusing on Long Island area issues. It airs Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. and is available as a podcast wherever you get your podcast. Plugged Into Long Island is produced by the Cox Media Group, Long Island Community Affairs, right here at our studios on Long Island. I'm Valerie. Have a fantastic Sunday. Bye.